In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
The last few weeks have seen the release of citizen journalist videos that have exposed Planned Parenthood selling body parts. Despite their denials, it's clear that Planned Parenthood is skirting the law and getting money, call it kickbacks, commission, reimbursed, or whatever, for selling the harvested body parts of aborted babies. Even Hillary Clinton called the images disturbing. Really? Why now? Have you really been a lifelong supporter of Planned Parenthood, including your State Department handing them $100 million, without stopping even once to look at what they do? But why are so many other people who are not politicians also finding these videos so disturbing? It's because it's a huge breach of trust. Planned Parenthood has been lying to women, lying to the American public, to school children, to school boards, and especially to gullible politicians all too willing to take campaign donations that are quite literally blood money. Planned Parenthood has been saying for decades that abortion merely destroys blobs of tissue. If that's true, then why are there body parts to be sold? Blobs of tissue shouldn't have organs to be sold. If you believe abortion is perfectly fine, then you need to look again at those images. Supporting Planned Parenthood and its version of choice has consequences. Coming up, we'll talk with Alan Parker of the Justice Foundation about those videos and also how Planned Parenthood uses taxpayer dollars in some rather devious means to fight for uninformed choice. I'd like to welcome now Myrna Schoenfeld of Josephine County Right to Life and Steve Raycraft, the current director of Josephine County, and he's also with Jackson County Right to Life. And you know, we were talking off air there during the warm-up here that, Myrna, you have a really rich history in all this. You were not only the founder of Josephine County Right to Life, but of all Right to Life.
Right. That when the men came down to talk to us, this was right after the Supreme Court's decision on Roe v. Wade, and we were the third state in the nation that was doing abortions. And so, under Packwood's leadership. And so, they came down in September and talked to us, and that's when we formed Right to Life, and that they were talking to people in Portland and talking to people in Salem, and so there we were all connected together in the founding of Right to Life.
Well, that's really awesome. It's an honor to talk to you and an honor to talk to both of you, so thank you both for joining us today. So with the Planned Parent videos that have been making the news the last couple of weeks, we wanted to talk to some people that on the other side of the aisle. Just to clear some things up, in terms of Josephine County Right to Life, and I should mention that Steve also works with Jackson County Right to Life, are those chapters of the statewide Oregon Right to Life, or are you independent chapters?
We're an independent chapter, but we're part of the Right to Life. It was when we formed, we didn't know, and so we just formed an independent chapter, but we're connected with the Oregon Right to Life. And Jackson County formed after us, and they formed with connection to the chapter to Right to Life.
I see.
So we're really Right to Life, no matter what.
Okay, great. So, Steve, maybe you could respond to this. What exactly does Josephine County do? I mean, what services do you provide and so on?
Well, probably Myrna can speak a little bit more to Josephine County, Right to Life in terms of the activities. I will say that the Jackson County Right to Life group operates slightly differently. There's actually a more active base of people running that organization. We have grassroots people that show up for our events that we conduct every year, our Right to Life rally and the prayer chain in October. And various other events that we might put on. We have 100 or 200 faithful people that come out for that. But we have monthly meetings in Jackson County. We have a fair booth at the Jackson County Fair every year, and there's a series of other events that we put together, you know, based on those monthly meetings that we hold.
Well, Myrna, why don't you respond to that? Is Josephine County any different from that?
Yes, before that, when we first started, we would have meetings on a regular basis, on once a month, and not in the summertime, but we had it throughout the year. And we continued on, and we had maybe about 100 people coming to the meetings, and we did that for about 25 years. And then the meetings just got less, and we would picket a lot of Planned Parenthood, and they would have anything in town, we would always picket them. And we would be, whether it be wildlife images or hosting a luncheon or anything like that, we would put a picket. And we still picket the Democratic headquarters when the election year comes up. And we'll have maybe 30 people out for that. And when they have an office, which will be soon, then we'll start on a regular picket.
Aside from meetings or picketing and so forth, what services do you provide? Like, say, for example, a woman's considering an abortion. Do you guys have counseling services? Do you guys go out into the schools to do sexuality education? Or what else do you guys do?
We did a lot for about 25 years. We would go out to the schools that would invite us. We talked at Southern Oregon University, or I don't know now what they named it, but anyway, it was Southern Oregon University, and that I would speak to the teachers and give them our perspective of that. I had a pregnancy care center for at least 20 years, 25 years, where we would house the girls, clothe the girls, we would pick them up, whatever. We would house them, anything that they needed, we would do.
Okay.
And we would put them on the buses and everything else. Since then, Pregnancy Care Center has formed, and they have now taken over our position of doing that. And they have full-time help.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break right there. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more on the pro-life movement and the challenges of doing that in a far-left environment like Oregon. Stay with us. And thanks for staying with us on the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. We are helping you keep an eye on big government every week. And we are talking this week about Planned Parenthood and the abortion debate. They are certainly in the news with those horrific videos that came out. And to do that, we're talking with two representatives from the Josephine County Right to Life organizations, both Steve Raycraft, who is the current director, and then Myrna Shanefelt, who is actually one of the original founders of the Right to Life movement. And we're pleased to have both of them on. And during the break there, we were talking about the challenges here in Oregon, especially in terms of getting into the schools. And you guys have actually been shut out of the schools. Steve, can you address that a little bit?
Well, it's a completely different climate than it was 30 and 40 years ago when Myrna first took up the battle for Right to Life. She did have access to the schools and was able to go in and present programs to address the sanctity of life and the issue of abortion. These days, that's much too controversial of a topic. And you have things like the Adolescent Sexuality Conference in Seaside that has the blessing of, at least until this last year, of a lot of Oregon County health departments and Oregon Education Department. That was considered fine and normal and healthy, and Right to Life has been considered too controversial.
Well, it really is rather shocking because I've been examining the school-based health centers for a number of years now, and when you look at the army that you guys are up against, you mentioned the sexuality conference, but they've got the Oregon Youth Sexual Health Plan, they've got sexual advocates. I mean, it's just amazing what you guys have. And yet here we are talking about a school. And isn't education about offering alternatives and about knowing, you know, education-wise, what's out there? So Myrna, why do you suspect that that is so difficult to get into the schools if all you're doing is saying there's another way?
Well, the whole thing is that once they hear the truth of that's presented, the students hear the truth, they become pro-life, and they don't want that. And that is following Margaret Sanger back in the 1920s and 30s, that she felt that population control was a must. And she is the founder of Planned Parenthood. And so, therefore, they kept on hiding the truth. And so when we would present the truth to the students, whether, it was a baby, and now they have the baby full part, you know, where you're talking about selling parts and harvesting parts of the baby. And so, therefore, now it has been exposed. And so we'll see what will happen again with the schools covering up. Because they would tell the girls that they would see them. This was before they even had the health department in. But they would also have the teachers excuse the students and take them to the health department before Planned Parenthood came in. And they would then set them up for an abortion.
Mm.
And without the parents' knowledge and their consent.
Yes.
And now we got a similar case with HB 528 that is going to be signed this week, that by Governor Brown, that the insurance companies have to pay for the insurance of the girls having abortions without telling their parents.
Yeah, and the parents have no means to find out either. Yeah,
right.
That's a very scary bill on a number of levels. The other problem here is funding, because any organization such as yourself, a grassroots organization, you need funding. You got to have staff. You got to have a means to get out there, like if you guys want to do advertising and such. So on the one hand, Planned Parenthood is actually paid through grants and through taxpayer funding to get into the school, and especially through the school-based health centers. They are one of the biggest advocates for that. Do you guys get any kind of funding from the government?
No.
For example, like if you guys wanted to go in there and do your own sex education class or any of that, and you look at the different services that Planned Parenthood offers in terms of contraception, family practice services, pregnancy tests, prenatal services, adoption referrals, these are all things that they're getting paid to do. Why can't you guys get that?
We're not nearly as devious as Planned Parenthood, for one thing. And the political climate certainly does not support, right to life and the right to life message. So,
do you know if any right to life organizations have actually tried to get those kinds of taxpayer fundings?
No, only the birth. Oh gosh, I'm trying to think. Under Reagan and under Bush. The last term that Bush had was that he gave school-based clinics some money to help to have the pro-life position.
Hmm.
And you had to apply for that, and you had to, that was the only time that the government gave any money at all. And so, therefore, we know that the government does not want to have, they've fallen for the Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger's population control. And that's
you're very well aware that every legislative session, there's new bills coming up trying to shut down the pregnancy care centers in the state, while they have nothing to do with regulating the abortion mills run by Planned Parenthood or anyone else. So I think that speaks volumes in terms of the attitude government takes towards pro-life, right to life versus Planned Parenthood and those organizations.
Yeah, well, especially here in Oregon, we are supposedly America's most pro-abortion state, the only one without one single restriction on abortion. I want to thank I want to thank both of you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having us. And we're glad to be able to have a voice for the voiceless.
Yes.
Speak out for in defense of the unborn.
That's a great point. Thank you. And we're just getting going here on the I Spy Radio Show. Up next, Alan Parker of the Justice Foundation on the undercover videos and a look at Planned Parenthood's abortion industry. And welcome back. Thanks for staying with us on the I Spy Radio Show. I'd like to welcome now Alan Parker. He is the president of the Justice Foundation, which served as the lead counsel for Norma McCreevy. That's formerly the Roe and Roe versus Wade, and also Sandra Cano, the Doe of Doe versus Bolton, in their efforts to overturn the two landmark cases that brought legalized abortion on demand to America. You know, it's been a while, but welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you, and thank you all for all you do.
Well, thank you. You know, we just finished with wrapping up with two guests here from Oregon. They are both working actively in the Oregon Right to Life movement. And what was interesting in some of that discussion there was they are being shut out of getting into the schools. Right now, Planned Parenthood is very actively involved with school-based health centers here in Oregon. And, of course, it's a national movement as well. But certainly within Oregon, there are two Planned Parenthoods actively working here in Oregon, and they are supporting these. And it gives them really a foothold into the schools, and many of their counselors are actually ending up in these school-based health centers. But on the Right to Life side, they're getting squeezed out. Is this something that you're seeing on a national level and maybe there in Texas as well?
Well, in Texas, we probably have much greater success getting into the schools. There might be some equal access issues in terms of the schools are supposed to be neutral on viewpoints and cannot
yes.
have viewpoint discrimination. So if they're excluding the organizations completely, they might be very well guilty of a free speech violation.
Mm.
The other thing we found to be helpful is Planned Parenthood materials are often so outrageous
yes.
that once you expose them to parents, they create an outcry and say, this is not appropriate in our schools. And Planned Parenthood always says, oh, we want age appropriate, but to them, teaching masturbation to kindergartners is age-appropriate, whereas
yes.
most parents think that's crazy. And
yes.
so, but you normally have to show them the curriculum because people think, oh, that would never happen. But that is very much part of the Planned Parenthood type of philosophy. You've got sex organs for pleasure, and you might as well use them as early as possible.
And as frequently as possible, too, apparently. You know, it's interesting because you bring up a great point that I think a lot of people really aren't aware of in terms of what's happening within these schools. And it's not just the school-based health centers, but it's the curriculum itself. Even if you don't have a school-based health center operating in your school, it's the curriculum that's being shoved at these kids. The Planned Parenthood now seems much more about sexuality education and not simply sex ed, how the different parts work. Again, is that something that you're also seeing?
It is very common across the country. They use very misleading and soothing terms. Their purpose is to seduce people into doing something they would never do if it was fully disclosed to them. Like you say, people think of sex ed. You want to know how children should not get pregnant if they're engaging in sex or how to get a sexual disease. But they go way beyond that, and they use the term comprehensive sexual education, which basically means you ought to know everything about sex there is to know, and we're here to teach you.
Yes.
And it's with the advance of the gay, lesbian, GBT agenda, it's becoming even more blatant and what I would call perverted in many respects, and it's at earlier and earlier ages and more graphic.
Well, and that's a good point because it's not only graphic, but it's also really advocating for an outlook on life and an outlook on sexuality itself, very promiscuous and again, just, I think, really wholly inappropriate in terms of the age groups that they're pushing for. And like you said, even teaching this down as far as kindergarten. And what I don't like about that so much is it really usurps the role of the parent. The parent is the one that has primary responsibility for the child, and also, but in terms of that child's outlook on life, that they need to be the ones that are guiding their children in these decisions. And yet, instead, you've got a school that and Planned Parenthood that is inserting themselves in between that process and in between the parents and children.
That's right. And I would urge every parent to remove their child from public schools and teach them at home if they're able to, or in a private Christian school, or if they're able to, or to work for school choice where every citizen would be able to pick the education that is best for their child and the money would follow the child from the state to the school of the parent's choice. We need to be educating children in the right way to do things, or we're going to pay a terrible price in the future.
Yes, absolutely. And as you say, there's lots of options out there. And you know, looking back at what our kids went through, I really wish that we had taught them at home. But unfortunately, at the time, that just was not an option. But I sure wish it had been an option. So
let me say one more thing on
sure,
that.
Sure, go ahead.
Because LGBTQ means questioning at the end in many places. And they're going to be teaching the children that you don't know if you are a heterosexual or a homosexual or if you're a male or a female, for that matter, until you try the other thing. And as you know, children are always searching for their identity. And once you get to trying these things, there is pleasure and addiction responses that can come into play. And children can be I believe, warped and destroyed and hurt for many, 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 many years.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly influence as well. And when does that cross the line, though, in terms of it being child abuse? Because, you know, we've had shows on in the past talking about the Oregon Youth Sexuality Conference here, and they were showing very graphic materials to school-age kids. And if you were some weird guy in a van that pulled up and showed these things to kids, you'd go to jail over it. And yet here they are teaching these kinds of things to our kids under the guise of education.
Yes. It's one of the great reasons for educating at home. The other thing is that the parent becomes the knowledgeable person, the expert.
Yes.
When you place your children in a public school, you're saying, these are the people who know everything. Listen to them and learn from them. And if they're teaching totally contrary to God's word, should not be surprised if your children then go off and abandon God, because they're being taught by the experts that your values are wrong and that there is no God. And since you're a sexual animal, you might as well enjoy all the sex you can get.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Don't lose your authority as a parent. You've got to safeguard that all the time. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right here. Everyone stay with us. Well, coming up in the next segment, we'll be talking about money for baby parts, the shocking abortion videos that have been sweeping the nation. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show, talking today to Alan Parker. He is the president of the Justice Foundation. He does not wear a cape, by the way. That's Justice League. He's with the Justice Foundation, although perhaps he ought to wear a cape because they represent clients free of charge in cases of limited government, private property, free markets, parental school choice, parental rights in education, and enforcing laws to protect women's health. And speaking of women's health, these shocking abortion videos have been making the news everywhere, and I think that it has opened a window onto the practice of what exactly happens during an abortion, and which has really shocked some people in terms of the techniques being used to kill these babies, like describing using less crunchy procedures in order to save body parts that they can be sold later. What did people think was happening behind those closed doors?
Well, so many of the women that we represent, and that's over 4,500 of them who've been hurt by abortion, felt like they were lied to by the abortion industry and by their abortion doctor, most of whom they never saw until the doctor was actually performing the abortion. So they feel doubly raped and assaulted in a way by these revelations that their baby parts may have been sold for profit by Planned Parenthood. And again, as we sort of mentioned in the prior segment, they have to use seductive words and very soft tone to get people to do things they'd never do if they were fully disclosed. For example, they might talk about, well, it's just tissue. And a woman thinks, oh, well, I'm not killing a baby. I'm just disposing of tissue. And the consent form says, we give you permission to dispose of the tissue any way you want. Well, most people, when they think tissue, think of, well, maybe a scraping from the inside of your mouth or a scraping from your fingernails. Get a little tissue off, you know? But Planned Parenthood means it's a human being. It's made of tissue.
Yeah.
And now it's liver. Well, liver is just tissue, but it's an organ. It's part of a human. And these parts of babies have value because they're human being parts.
Yes.
And the women that we represent are just mortified, and they're calling me and saying, can we sue Planned Parenthood? And it's just a terrible re-traumatization of women who were traumatized. Sometimes they found out later that it was a baby when they saw, say, a sonogram of a later child or something like that.
Well, and I think sonograms are certainly changing the entire abortion debate, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit later. But it's interesting that you say that they use this seductive language and really kind of hide behind the language in terms of what they're actually doing. It would have been far more accurate if they had said, instead of selling the tissue, if they had just said harvest the body parts. But, of course, they don't, because that would imply that there's a body, that this is a real person.
Yes, and Planned Parenthood says, so we don't do anything to change the procedure. But their Dr. Nicoletta on tape is saying, yeah, well, if we know what we're looking for, we can make sure that we crush a body above and below and leave that part intact.
Yeah.
And so they're doing it to harvest the human being organs. You know, we pray a lot that God would expose the deeds of darkness. And I believe that everybody needs to watch that video. It's not eye violence, but it is soul violence. And it's a veil being ripped off of the deception of Planned Parenthood. And everybody ought to Google Planned Parenthood sells baby parts and listen to the medical director for Planned Parenthood describing how they cut out livers and lungs, and they're looking for hearts and brains. It's just horrendous.
Yeah, it's ghoulish, absolutely ghoulish. So prior to these videos breaking, I don't think most people would have thought that they're out there selling these parts of harvested babies. Did you have any idea that this was a portion of their business model, or did it catch you by surprise as well?
Well, we've known about it for a number of years, but of course, if you just hear about it or a disgruntled employee tells you or something, no one believes you. The beauty of this, that it is the medical director for Planned Parenthood at the highest level saying she not only does it personally, they encourage their affiliates to do it as well. So it's just the documented damning evidence that is so powerful at this moment.
Yeah. Very shocking for sure. In terms of laws, though, because, I mean,
something, if you don't mind, if I could tell you something else shocking that most people don't know and that I'm trying to get the pro-life movement to say. Our water supplies are being polluted with dead baby bodies. RU486 abortion, the pill, requires the woman to go home and expel the baby. I know this because the women crawl me crying and weeping. Some of them have the baby in their hand. They lie to me. This is a baby. What do I do with this? Can I bury the baby in the backyard? But most of them flush it down the toilet.
Mm.
I know Oregonians want clean water, but their water supplies are being polluted with dead baby bodies, and it's in the water supplies. And the next phase is to decide how are we going to bury or dispose of these human remains, which are currently being dumped into toilets in America.
That's just
how horrible it is.
It's horrible and shocking. It really is. Got about a minute here with you before we need to take a break. In terms of laws, though, because, I mean, you are an attorney, were they violating any laws that would forbid the use of body parts?
Yes, in my opinion, the Dr. Nicoletta Villio shows that she was intentionally violating the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act by manipulating the baby body parts outside the womb and then crushing the baby's skull inside the womb. There's a specific federal statute. The other thing, and I don't know Oregon's laws, but almost every state has laws against selling human organs and not disposing of human waste in a proper way. So I think it's highly likely. Certainly there is probable cause to warrant a criminal investigation into every Planned Parenthood facility across the country. DAs and prosecutors should go in, send the police in, and make them tell the truth or take the Fifth Amendment. And in my opinion, it's highly, highly likely they are violating state and federal laws.
Yeah. I actually don't know the answer to that either in terms of what Oregon's laws are, but it would not surprise me if there aren't any against that. All right, everyone stay with us. We'll have more on the shocking Planned Parenthood videos with Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We are Oregon's second largest radio network, and today we are talking about the Planned Parenthood videos that have been really shocking and waking a lot of people up to what exactly is going on. We're talking today to Alan Parker. He's the president of the Justice Foundation, which was founded to protect the fundamental freedoms and rights essential to the preservation of American society. And I got a follow-up question from that last segment there, talking about the Planned Parenthood videos. One of the arguments that they use that they, in their mind, I guess, justifies this is that they're benefiting actually from all of these abortions because it leads to medical research and so on. And to me, that is such a weak moral argument. I mean, using that moral stance, you can say, well, let's start killing all the handicapped and chronic unemployed because then we're saving people money. What did you think of that when you hear that they're saying that they're using that as their justification?
Well, it is the utilitarian argument that leads to the Nazi horrors in Germany. You think of someone as less than human and deny legal protection to a class of human beings. That is a classic crime against humanity when the government does it. And our Supreme Court and our society have denied legal protection to children in the womb. The body parts video shows these are human beings. You know, these are not fish. They're not frogs. These are human body parts, which are then being sold for human research and human applications. It just totally reveals it's a human being, and you're harvesting their body parts without their consent. The children never consent, and these are human beings. And it is a crime. It is a classic crime against humanity under international law. And the Nazis were actually charged at Nuremberg with the crime of involuntary abortion and the crime of voluntary abortion. And they did not want Polish women, for example, to have babies. And so in Poland, they said, we're not going to enforce the anti-abortion laws anymore. Polish women can have abortions because they wanted to reduce that population. They also forced some women to have abortions because they didn't want those children born. So both voluntary and involuntary abortions were charged against them as involuntary, as a crime against humanity in the Nuremberg criminal trials.
Wow, I did not know that. That's interesting. So let's talk a little bit about the amount of money flowing into Planned Parenthood. I mean, and they've really turned, you'll make no mistake about it, they have turned abortion into an industry. They get, I think their latest financials show $1.3 billion in revenues, out of which $500 million of that comes from federal funding, the U.S. taxpayers. There is a movement right now. Some people are trying to start saying, okay, we need to cut off the federal funding for this. This is just getting absurd. Any chance that will happen?
I believe there's a very good chance it will pass the Senate and that it will pass the House and that President Obama would probably then veto it. He is one of the most deeply committed presidents in the American history to the killing of children in the womb. And I think it's very important for Congress to do this. When Bill Clinton was president, he vetoed the partial birth abortion ban twice. But it shows the barbarity of what they're doing. And for example, many people think, well, it ought to be a woman's choice to have an abortion. But why should you force me to fund something I think is immoral? So even the people in the mushy middle who don't want to ban abortion can understand how someone who thinks it's murder shouldn't have to pay for someone else's murder. And yeah, it's a free country, but that doesn't mean you get everything for free. You're free to do what you want with your own money and your own dollar, but not free to do everything you want with my tax dollar. So the taxpayer funding argument appeals to lots of people who might even be pro-choice in some respect, but at least can also respect other people's opinions and who are tolerant of diversity and tolerant of opposing viewpoints.
Well, and speaking of viewpoints, as we said earlier, that they're not just about abortion. They're actually advocating for a certain type of viewpoint, and within that, they're getting into the education system. So could you push the envelope in terms of federal funding? Say, okay, if we're going to spend $500 million on Planned Parenthood, let's spend $500 million on Right to Life. I would imagine that would get the left up in arms, but then they would then have to say, no, you can only spend that on our side of the issue. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, that was the Republican response, and they did get a lot of funding in there for pregnancy counseling. And I know in Texas, some of that money goes through to crisis pregnancy centers that are alternatives to abortion. So that is one way. Probably from what I know of Oregon politics, that may not be occurring there, but it's voluntary. But Texas applied for some of the money and got it, and that was the Republican response. The only flaw with that is it tends to then increase deficit spending.
Yes.
Because we're spending millions to kill children, we're spending millions to save children, but we're spending millions we don't have and borrowing from the Chinese, driving our country deeper and deeper into debt, as well as God's basically wrath for killing his children.
Mm.
It's not good policy, but that's the easy way out. So Republicans have sort of taken that. Well, you spend your money, we'll spend half the money on killing children and 10% of the money on saving children.
Well, the other thing that was shocking was the fact that, and we got about a minute here with you, the other thing that was shocking on that, too, is not just the $500 million that comes from U.S. taxpayers, but they also are apparently getting $300 million from corporate donors. Was that a shock to you in terms of, and they named the names. They showed the different corporations that were giving money. Did any of those corporations surprise you? I don't know, or maybe you didn't see that.
No, I did see that. It doesn't surprise me. What surprised me was that some of them said, we're going to stop giving money and take our name off of your website. So it's beautiful when the deeds of darkness are exposed and truth comes out. It's one reason why shows like yours are so important. I don't call them mainstream media. The mainstream is conservative to right in this country.
Yes.
The liberal media has an agenda that is very destructive of America. And without repentance and revival, I believe our nation is doomed. I urge everyone listening to this program to just get on your knees right now and ask God to forgive us as a nation. Confess your own sins. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. We need God's help desperately. The greatest danger to America right now is God himself, because He cannot allow this much horror to go on forever. He destroyed Germany eventually, and we are killing far more people than Germany ever did.
Yeah, shocking. All right, let's take a break there. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Alan Parker, president of the Justice Foundation. Stay with us. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show, talking today about Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. We're talking today to Alan Parker, the president of the Justice Foundation. If you'd like to find out more about them, you can head to thejusticefoundation.org. And, of course, we'll put that up on iSpyRadio.com to make that easier for you to find. So I'd like to end the show with a little bit of hope here, because I think we need it after today's show. Texas recently passed House Bill 3994. And according to the National Right to Life magazine article on July 9th, it says the law protects minors from the predatory tactics of big abortion, ensuring proper reporting of abuse, and advocating for the rights of Texas parents to be involved in the life-altering abortion decisions of their young daughters. So tell us a little bit about this law, and what exactly does it do, and is it a step in the right direction?
Well, I think it is. And in most states, your daughters can't get prescriptions without a parent's notification. They can't get tattoos often without parental notification, and yet they can go into an abortion clinic and get an abortion without their parents even knowing about it. And in our experience, what happens is the parents often find out about it when the devastation sets into their daughter's lives.
Hmm.
One of our parents, for example, had to put their daughter in a psychiatric unit because she was cutting her belly because of the grief and
wow.
sorrow. The girls think, oh, I don't want my parents to know I'm pregnant. They're scared. They're embarrassed. They think that my dad's going to kill me. Well, he's not going to kill you. He might be mad. We deal with girls in this situation all the time and say, well, your parents have a right to be mad at you, but they don't have the right to force you to have an abortion or abuse you or anything like that. We'll help you. We'll protect you. And most times, your parents don't do anything except be upset and cry. On the other hand, then the parents say, we will now help you through this, and we'll deal with this together. And the parents are there with a long-term view that, of course, teenagers don't have. In fact, most of the girls didn't want to get pregnant, which shows their immaturity right there. They're not capable of having sex and avoiding the consequences. And yet, we say, oh, now you can make a life-altering decision that... I represent 4,500 women who were injured by abortion. Many of them got them in those teen years before their parents even knew about it, and it has devastated them for decades. So everybody thinks parents are there generally because they're the ones who love the child the most, more than the abortionist who's just interested in making money. They love the parents. They have to deal with the consequences, and they should be involved in the decision. And that's what this parental notice and consent law does. You cannot just willy-nilly go into an abortion clinic as a minor and get an abortion any longer.
Hmm. You know, one of the things that I think is really changing the whole abortion debate is the notion of ultrasound, and that is improving dramatically. They now have 3D ultrasound as well, and I think kids coming up are looking at those and you know, they're old enough usually when, you know, mom is pregnant again and mom comes home with an ultrasound picture and she's able to show that to the older brother or sister and say, that's your baby brother or baby sister in there. And I think people are starting to grow up with that now. And so I think that is really changing the abortion debate. And the kids that more and more today are less in favor of abortion than they were maybe a generation ago. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that, some of the effects that you're seeing in the youth movement?
Well, I think that is one of the very powerful things moving America in the direction of being pro-life. And the kids see the child in the womb, and they can't be lied to that it's just a mass of tissue. They see the arms and the legs, the beating heart. And so they know. And then they start thinking, well, mom and dad, did you want to abort me? They feel like they're a survivor of abortion.
Mm.
And then they hear the testimonies of women who have abortions, and that's changing people's minds. And then finally, I think the third major factor is prayer, particularly the 40 days for life, which is praying in front of abortion clinics and seeing abortion clinics shut down all over the nation. And I believe it's the massive prayer and the crying out to God, the suffering of those who've been in the business. Many abortionists, I was just reading a book about the Nazi doctors. They couldn't sleep after killing all the people. Well, when you kill that many babies, you have great difficulty sleeping, and many workers have emotional problems.
Yeah, I would sure think so. You look at some of those things, you just can't believe that they're doing what they're doing. Alan Parker, president of the Justice Foundation, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like to thank all of you for staying with us today. I know it was perhaps difficult at times to listen to, but life-altering, life-ending decisions are difficult to talk about. But this is also the truth that Planned Parenthood is not willing to talk about. It's time to end the taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. They get $500 million, and they can claim it doesn't pay for abortion, but it's $500 million that they don't have to spend out of their own bank account. It may not go directly to pay for abortions, but they can use it for marketing, for paid activists and lobbyists and other promotional materials to expand their customer base. Every industry needs to do that. That's why Nike doesn't just spend their profits on just making shoes. They promote sports. Think where Nike would be if people stopped playing sports. And that's what Planned Parenthood is doing with that $500 million. It's spent to develop and expand their customer base. But worst of all, they're lying to do it. And they have access to your kids.
It's time to put a stop to this, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.